everybody, welcome to episode 339 of the Alleged Wrestling Podcast with me, Fitz, him, Bo, and him, Gordo.
Hey. Steve,
the old man, is after passing on to the other world, I'm afraid. The United Brigade finally kicked him in.
I heard he's actually not dead at all, and he's actually gone to try and become the next Mark Goldbridge.
Oh, so who is he going following now and claiming to be a fan of theirs? He's going to be a secret Liverpool fan, isn't he?
After all these years, Liverpool fan Steve.
He is, yeah, that's it. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, because it would explain a lot.
It would. It would explain why he's always so enthralled with Liverpool things.
See, that's why he's doing the walking. He needs to get the exercise up to get, you know, walk to Liverpool from Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
Still track.
True that. Steve, rest in peace. We did love you, but we don't anymore because you're gone. Boys, it's WrestleMania week. And for once, I'm actually looking forward to it. What's going on?
It's been a good build-up. What is this madness? It's exciting.
Yeah, and, you know, the strange thing is that people want to watch it and, you know, are interested in watching it. That's the scary stuff.
Yeah, I was talking to some people in work today who, like, are very casual fans, and they're like, they looked at the card and ran it down, and, yeah, they're like, oh, okay, I might actually buy the network. Someone's buying the network from someone who never bought the network before for a month.
Like, it's very easy to say, you know, oh, The Rock is back, therefore loads of casuals have interest in it. But it's not just because The Rock is back. The Rock is back and he's doing new good shit.
It's
a huge difference to what they've done for the last 15 years, where they've just brought a part-timer, an old-timer back and did the same old shtick with them. You know, Goldberg and fucking even Rock 10 years ago was effectively the same old shtick for him. This is new. This is fresh. This is exciting stuff.
Well, he has vested interest now. He's on the board.
And it has to make it good.
Yeah.
Now, there'll be reckless speculation later when we're talking about the matches as to what he will or will not be doing in this match or in this pay-per-view, because conversation is rife about whether he's going to interfere, whether he's going to cause someone to lose that match. And I've heard rumors both ways, so we're going to have to see what happens. But before we get to WrestleMania, there was some interesting stuff this week with fucking Ariel Helwani's podcast and the MMA Hour. He's had all the wrestlers on by the sound of it.
Yeah, there's been a fuck ton of people on this week.
He had Becky on this time last week, promoting her book in Mania. On Monday, he had Punk and Rhea on. And I think, was it Tuesday or Wednesday, he had Cody on.
And Becky crashed that one as well.
Yeah, she doesn't get paid by the hour anyway. But I think the most noteworthy one, the good place to start, classic. He'll always provide content for all people in media. CM Punk, what do you guys think of his near 2-hour interview?
I watched
what was
the whole
the
thing.
Takeaways?
I watched
so
the whole
did
thing.
We.
Yeah.
Regretfully, until it was like, what, 1 a.m. in the morning, and we're like, oh shit, this is a very fucking late show. But you don't actually feel the time going by, because, like him or hate him, I think he's a very entertaining speaker.
I was very surprised at how much he went into the AEW stuff. I mean, obviously, the NDA covers specifically Brawl Out, so we could talk about everything else. I'm surprised he did.
Do we give special props to Ariel for his interview technique and style?
Well, I mean, he was told a few times by Punk, he's a real journalist.
That does help. Now,
was it a fraud journalist?
Shut up, Houseman.
Stooge.
but what was your takeaway from it? Like, was there anything that stood out particularly for you?
I think, obviously, it was weird. Like, he went in pretty heavy on AEW, but at the same time, he didn't go in that heavily. He said at the end, and all, you know, the good, the positives outweigh the negatives and all like that. But if you listen to that interview, it did not sound like that. There was a lot of I won't say bad, like, because obviously there was the main thing. I think I agree with a lot of his points. And the main point, I think, across the whole thing is the place isn't run like a business. It's run like some friends having some good times, which is what it is. And even Edge's retort at the start of Dynamite this week kind of backed up his points in some way.
To paraphrase him slightly, because I can't remember exactly the words he said, but if you build a business based on the opinion of one person giving you 5 stars for a match and quarter filling a business, then we're not in the same business.
Yeah.
And that really kind of hit home, and it really kind of summarized everything that everybody has been saying about AEW's performance for the last 12 to 18 months. Like when they were in Canada last week, they sold, what, 4,000 tickets to an 18,000 ticket venue? Like, what are you doing booking these venues if you're not even going to half fill them?
Now, yeah. I mean, in fairness, right now, nowadays, the money in wrestling is in the TV deal. It's not in the gate. But if you don't have the good gate and the audience, then the TV money isn't going to come.
They complement each other. You don't get one without the other. And I would suspect, from a very uneducated point of view, I will foresay, that AEW were in a much stronger bargaining position 18 months ago with regards to a TV renewal than they are right now. Mm. Because if you're Warner Brothers or any other prospective TV buyer, content purchaser, you're going to look at AEW and say, well, they're barely selling out venues. Their ratings are dwindling. Why would I spend top dollar for them when there's not going to be a very high bidding war?
There's that, so, but at the same time, because Netflix is now locked in with WWE,
mm-hmm.
wrestling itself is still good for
live sports, good content live for live TV.
Sports. Yeah. So it is the only other available option, basically, now that Netflix have locked down WWE.
Yeah.
Unless you want to go TNA, but let's face it.
Shut up, Big Little Brawlers.
Big Little Brawlers does better. Yeah, that's the money or the moneymaker now.
The Rampage Killer.
Like, if you look at WWE, for example, they've obviously got a huge contract now with Netflix. And if SmackDown has gone to the USA when that renews, but you would imagine that if they're going to any negotiating table right now, they can turn around and say, look, we've sold out our last, 14 TV shows with the average attendance over 10,000.
I mean, SmackDown's definitely sold out tonight as well. That's going to be 15.
Yeah. So like, it's ridiculously good how much of a strong argument that you can make when you're going to these negotiating tables. So look, we're filling buildings week in, week out, 10,000 plus. The ratings are up. People are tuning in. Our social content is higher than ever. Therefore, you're going to be looking at Fox or NBC or any of these companies. They're going to be looking, well, if more people are interested in viewing that product, then surely we'll be backing the winner. So it's a really, really controversial one. But it's interesting to see, going back to Punk again, his contents and his comments about Tony. You know, he still doesn't have an angry word really to say about Tony. He wishes him all the best. He'd say hey to him if he passed him in the street. But he didn't hold back when he criticized his managerial technique.
No, I mean, let's face it, Tony's a mark of money. He always has been. That's what exactly, if any of us had the money he had, we'd do the exact same thing he's doing.
Yeah.
You make something you're interested in seeing. It's his own personal project. He likes that style of wrestling, so he's going to make that style of wrestling. I mean, he's a billionaire. He doesn't need to make money out of this. This is just for his own personal gain.
He's a fool. You know, you can be a money mark and you can create the environment that he's created in terms of being a fantasy booker. But why would you not be smart enough to hire business people to run the business? You know, these two can coexist very comfortably.
They coexist.
Like, you can look at Triple H and Nick Khan, for example. Obviously, we're looking from the outside in. We can make assumptions, but Nick Khan is obviously the businessman that's running that business right now. And from all intents and purposes, he's doing a fantastic job selling out venues. Their sponsorships are all over the place. Although I'm not looking forward to seeing the prime bottle on the WrestleMania match.
It better not be as gaudy as that one they had on SmackDown at the time.
Exactly. But then you look at Triple H and he's able to run the content to do whatever way he wants to do it within obviously certain parameters. Tony can run the booking and the matchmaking as he wants, but he still should have a general manager, not just in a professional wrestling sense, but an actual manager to run the company. Like, there's so many instances where they've had to fucking cover up effectively what's happened because nobody has been taking a managerial stance backstage.
Yeah. Like the whole
Rollout would not have happened if there was a good manager involved.
I mean, like he said, Punk said it himself in an interview, as much as you can take Punk's word on this, but I'd honestly believe a lot of it. When he said, like, the first time that happened with Hangman going into business for himself in the promo, he said it to Tony afterwards, deal with that or I will. And it was
you're not going to be like the way I will.
Yeah. Same with that. He didn't get it shut down then. The point Tony needed to step up was when Punk was going off, sitting beside him in the press conference. If he had to shut it down there and then, it was done.
Yeah, and this didn't come as a surprise to Tony at that stage either, because Punk, like you said, if you believe him, he said that Tony had heard all of these things before, so it didn't come as a surprise when he was saying those things on the All Out scrum. But like you said, at no point did Tony look at him and say, enough, stop talking now.
Yes.
Yep. Go have your muffins.
Gordo, what was your takeaway from the press or the interview with Ariel?
Yeah, it seemed very much like he confirmed a lot of what a lot of people already knew and were speculating on, I think, for the most part. Like, I found very interesting about the stuff that some of the stuff is covered by an NDA and other events aren't.
So I said, it's just whatever happened in that room is what's covered by the NDA, it seems like.
Exactly. So, and I'm wondering, was there a case of, was that, and then alleged the other NDAs that female wrestlers had to sign? And I'm wondering that eventually they reach a point where within AEW they have to be like, lads, we need to stop fucking handing out NDAs, and that's why the latter stuff isn't covered. Especially if Tony feared for his life. Also, shout out Ariel Helwani, who I don't know if any of you picked up on this, it didn't get much traction. But after the Becky and Rhea brawl took place, there was a clip doing the rounds where Ariel said that after 15 years of doing the show, providing a real good atmosphere, that was the first time in all of the time doing the show that he feared for his life and the lives of his staff.
Ariel really went down for AEW this week after the meeting. Yeah. Sure, he had Josh Barnett on and he was asking him about his time at AEW. He was really wanting to get on the news articles for this week.
I mean, I can understand it. You know, taking aside the way any interviewer or media person is supposed to be independent and non-biased, he was so fucked off by the way Tony Khan behaved in his interview that I can understand why he would try poke the bear a little bit and get a little bit of a soundbite for it, because it was fucking ridiculous. Oh, I'd love to talk about that, but you know, I can't.
Part of the Tony Khan media problem in general, and this is actually why he used to be on Busted Open for a while, you know, when like the Mark Henry and Bubba Ray are on. Tony used to be coming on that every so often, but eventually stopped. Basically, they just seem to have less kind of easy questions for him. Basically, they weren't going to softball him with questions about shit anymore. And he had one or two questions that apparently rubbed him the wrong way. You could kind of, I can remember seeing clips where he wasn't too happy with what he was getting asked. And he hasn't been on that in quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'd imagine.
Sure, what the Ring of Honor press conference this, or the press conference they had before Ring of Honor, whatever it's called, Super Show, Super Card of Honor, like the very first question was about the Punk stuff, and straight away,
bristled. He also kind of put his foot in about some of the releases. Is there any follow up from the boys, Dalton's boys?
I haven't seen that from the boys yet. Your other man got rehired though, the guy that they let go because he was injured, and will hire back for his LT.
That rehired him. The boys, he one made a comment about how they were basically no shown, were shown up late multiple times and all this sort of stuff, so he had to get rid of them. And they both tweeted out to essentially say, oh, really? Or, oh, that's how it's going to be. Stay tuned. Or words to that effect. Mm. So I feel there's another side to that story that's going to come out.
You have to assume, based on the way AEW was run, they probably weren't told that they were needed.
Yeah.
They were booked.
Mm. Yeah, pretty much. So that'd be an interesting one.
To answer Chicken, we're not at liberty to say the exact reason why Steve is not on the podcast right now. I'm sorry for that silence. Thank you.
Make sure to tune into Rampage opposite the clusterfuck this Saturday night.
Jungle Boy, Jack Perry Boy, Jungle Perry Jack Boy story.
Perry Perry Chicken Boy, yeah.
That kind of went as expected, as kind of everyone had understood, I think. I don't know if there was too much surprise, but I think the only main thing that kind of stood out for people was that, and again, to preface, if you are to believe Punk, that Jack Perry was cussing out people backstage, including Tony Schiavone and others, to the point of where Punk had to step in as quote-unquote a consultant for the show. So he only did that and said, you know, if you want to do what you want to do, do it on Wednesdays. Don't do it here. And the opposite side of that story is that Jack Perry said that line on the All In pre-show because he felt that it was Punk and or Punk's camp that leaked the story to make Jungle Boy look bad.
Yeah, and part of that obviously was Punk reiterated the fact of, you know, when it came to what was happening, Shivani had said to Jungle Boy, you know, that don't do it, this is stupid. Basically, other agents, I think he said Jerry Lynn was name dropped at one point, and said that the doctor even had chimed in and said, yeah, you know, don't use real glass. And it was only after all of them had gotten cussed out of it that that's when Shivani had to go to Punk and say, here, can you sort this lad out? So essentially, Jungle Boy's a fucking clown.
Yeah.
There you go, Steve. Right. I told you I'd go in on him. But yeah, very much Jungle Boy's a fucking clown. This whole thing of him being scapegoated, nah, he actually, like, if even some of this about him cussing out multiple people is true, he's just a fucking dick.
Like, whatever you think about whether Punk or Punk's camp leaked the story to make Perry look bad, whether that's true or not, the story that was leaked from all accounts is true. So he was being a little bitch backstage.
Yeah.
So he compounded that by being a little bitch on TV.
Yep. So, and the biggest show since, probably the biggest show since the first All Out.
Yeah.
And like, Punk literally the match, biggest apparently. Show. Yeah. I would love to have been a fly on the wall for the conversations then when he said he'd quit.
It's still recorded. Someone has that footage.
Release the Wembley cut. Like, yep. That's all we want. Fuck your Schneider cut. Release the Wembley cut.
It pays kind of respect to, do you know when Punk was walking backstage after the match and he's literally walking backstage and he's doing the point to the sky as he walks back in? He knew what he was doing, obviously, at that stage. He knew he was never having another
match. He was gone. Yeah.
Like, that's mad. Moving on then to his re-signing.
I am surprised they didn't call an audible on it because they knew that Punk was not going to be around to just have Joe win the match.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, I knew they had Joe maybe tied up to work MJF not too long after.
Yeah, but Trudent would have been better with two belts, the belts on each, but both belts on the line.
See, you think that now, Bo? I will give him a little bit of credit because, you know, you're talking the space of maybe 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, but it was off last minute. It would have been a very... Yeah. And that's the thing, Tony, you know, yet again, doesn't know how to run a wrestling company properly, according to Punk.
But also, it might have been a case of, okay, if Punk was that pissed off, you don't poke the bear and tell him, by the way, you're going to drop your title now.
Yeah, true. You thought he probably would have canned him down afterwards and
things would have known to show. It could have been a case of, okay, you know, he at the moment, he's after saying he's going, but is he really, though?
Mm-hmm. So... moving on to the WWE side of that interview. So he talked about how he's re-signing and re-debuting came about. And it went pretty much the way the dirt sheet said, so that it all happened very last minute on Thanksgiving week in the lead up to Survivor Series, that it was only really a done deal the day of the show. So that's why nobody was given advance notice. Any surprises there for you, or was it all... Seems to be, you know, businessmen making business decisions. Yeah. You know, they've taken emotion and feelings out of it.
Yeah, for me, the surprise of it, I suppose, was probably more the fact that I suppose the fact that they were dropping the hints that they were dropping, like in the build up to him coming back, they were dropping so many hints when they didn't have him tied to anything, and there was still.
And that Chicago crowd would not have been happy if they didn't show up at the end of that show.
So, like, they were, for something that there was no even talks of, there was an awful lot of shit going on there that make you go, really, lad? They were potentially playing with fire there if they didn't manage to get him.
That's for you, Gordo, while we're just talking about that. Were all of those hints programmed? Were they coordinated? Or were they people just doing shots for the sake of shots?
I think it might have been shots for the sake of shots.
Because, also, like you said, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Because you got fired. You lose the non-compete.
It wasn't because he got fired, was it? Okay.
Yeah, he was released with cause, therefore you terminate the contract. You can't keep a non-compete and terminate the contract. It's one or the other.
That makes more sense.
So then but also,
that makes me wonder how on earth did Nick Khan not realize that he didn't have a non-compete?
Well, he probably kicks himself for not asking the question.
Yeah, that's true.
I think most people, I'm pretty sure that the boys over in Soup kind of referenced that at the time as well, that, you know, when you do get fired, you can't tie someone to something that you've ended.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, that's very true.
But obviously, Chicago, Survivor Series, he re-debuts to the joy of the fans and the bemusement of some in the ring and the annoyance of Seth Rollins. One of an all-time moment.
And to a waving Randy Orton. Hey, buddy.
Side note, have you watched the watch-along from Punk Orton's WrestleMania 26 match yet?
No, I saw that, like, the very start of it, but I haven't seen the actual breakdown of the match run yet.
Saw bits of it. Man, it's weird to see them two getting on so well. WrestleMania 27, thanks very much, Tam. Weird to see them getting on so well together, because you'd think by looking at them that they are almost two polar opposite people. You know, you've got Orton, who, for want of a better phrase, is maybe a throwback wrestler, you know, juiced up, probably did some recreational stuff back in the day. Pretty boy, pretty Madonna.
No, and then you look at, he said it.
Yeah.
I know. I throw the NDL allegedly, just for good measure.
Allegedly.
But then you get Punk, obviously, straight edge, the anticipate of what a professional wrestler probably looks like in the coming up days that they had. It's a fun watch. I will say that, and I would recommend anyone to give it a go. But what did you think then of the rest of the interview? Was there any other points outside of those that kind of jumped out at you and made you think,
He kind of confirmed a lot of stuff that people already knew. Jungle Boy's a fucking clown. AEW isn't run as a business, I think is probably a phrase that we've all said on this pod multiple times down through the years. It's a lot of stuff I said that we kind of all already kind of half new, so it's not earth shattering really.
But the interesting part, I think, was the reaction AEW had to it, though.
Oh,
they went full on defensive.
So here's something I kind of wanted to ask, because I was away yesterday, so I didn't actually get to see the first hour of Dynamite. But when I walked in the door, I was greeted with, "You've just missed arguably the worst hour of AEW wrestling ever." Now, Bo, you have probably watched the show by now. Mm-hmm. What's your unbiased opinion of the first hour of Dynamite last night?
I mean, it was the Edge Rara speech was basically backing up everything that Punk said. It didn't go the route they wanted. And why Edge, who's basically a WWE lifer, just happened to hop over for this little bit. Now, he had no reason to be making that promo. But anyway, so that was bad. And then, the Billy Gunn, Jay White match was...
shit.
That happened.
Was that bad? Like, the two of them should be able to put on a good match.
It's burying Jay White. I mean, someone losing the match normally isn't just a burying, but this one, it just felt like it was. Because with the way Jay White has been booked all along, within his AEW run, has not been good. And then this, you've got he's an early 60-year-old guy. 60. Just,
he is 60.
He is 60.
He's older than Iron Sheik was when he won the fucking gimmick Battle Royal.
Yeah. Just literally beating the shit out. You know, admittedly, he's like twice the size of him, but still, he's still 60. And then there was just all the interference as well at the end of that match. And there was just a really weird bit where got beaten up backstage. The Acclaimed got beaten up backstage, and then the boys came out. Then they just ran out after them. Were you not just beaten up? The commentary were even saying, "Oh, and the Acclaimed can't even come out because they're there." They are. It was like, where's the logic? Where's the logic?
It's almost like a question that you should ask every week, Bo.
Like it's honestly almost like they forgot that they ran the VT with the beatdown.
Yeah. Because they weren't even limping. They weren't selling in any way. It was just perfectly fine legging it down.
Full pelt down the aisle. You're like, lads, what are you doing? Like, what are we doing here? And to add to that, in between you had the Ospreay and the Danielson matches, which I really don't think hit either. The Danielson match more so. Ospreay's one was fine. Just wasn't great.
I didn't mind. I thought those matches were decent, actually.
Maybe myself and Pat are in the minority. Just didn't click for either of us, to be honest.
Rory in the chat says, quote unquote, scapegoat, I love your work. A reference to the Young Bucks coming out for their match.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple of little lines thrown in by the Bucks. I think there was another one later on as well.
Like, why would they be saying these things knowing that TK is still pissed at Jungle Boy? Because from all accounts, he is. Now, they'll probably build it into a story, but still, like, why? Answer that question, please.
Because they're children. You saw it with the fucking Lap of Honor when they, after Punk left. These are two lads who are essentially grown children who have not ever been used to people saying no to them.
Mm-hmm. Tam raised a good point from the Punk interview as well about how he spoke about Vince. I thought probably that was one of the best answers by any wrestler so far, at least.
Oh,
you contrast that with what Cena said and got a little bit of a shade for not
critiquing him strongly enough. The way Cena, yeah, he was very. Yeah. I know my friend. I like my friend. Cool, Cena. That's not what you should be saying right now. But yeah,
no. What I like most about Punk's comments about Vince was that he brought in Benoit and made some very good comparisons between the two. You know, he was friends with Benoit the week before the incident happened. He was backstage at a show and Benoit's kid had his wrist taped up with the X like Punk did. He was a fan of him, but he was able to draw the comparison as well. I didn't know that side of Benoit, but fuck him. You know, he did the thing, so fuck him. It's a really weird one because you always find yourself in that position, don't you? You're like, oh, if my best friend kills someone, like, Jesus, I never thought he'd be capable of doing such a thing. But, you know, just because you can't see the side of someone doesn't mean that that person doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite good. And he was one of the few to talk about the victims about it. They should be the focus of all of this. Rory says, Jay White sucks. He was shite in New Japan. He's shite in AEW. Ooh, I disagree strongly about New Japan. It's hard to argue with AEW, though. He has not been very well.
He's not been booked well.
It's upsetting me how he's been booked in AEW because I was a massive fan of his in New Japan.
As a top smarmy heel with, what's his name, the manager?
Gato.
Oh, Gato. Like, that was a good shtick they had going.
Yep.
And he's just a good foil to good wrestlers as well. So when he was in there with feuds with was it Okada and even Ospreay, I think, you know, he was just able to get the edge over them because he's such a snaky bastard. So that's why I kind of enjoyed his work in New Japan. But yeah, he's not been given much to work with in AEW yet, and it's going to see really if that changes. Yeah. He goes on to say Punk is a child too, emotionally immature. Yes, I would say he's maturing a lot in the last few years.
But at the same time, there's a reason all these things have Punk in the middle of them. He takes things way too fucking seriously.
Yeah. He's an old timer trying to be a new guy. And, you know, our interpretation of the experiences that we have are different because of the generation we grew up in and all that sort of stuff. So he's trying to see what's happening now and use his old school logic to understand it. And that often doesn't work out very well. But again, it's just, man, communication could solve so many of these problems.
Oh, that's all you need to do. Just talk to people.
Fucking talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you've got two alphas, for want of a better phrase,
because alpha.
I'm not going to call Jack Perry an alpha because just no, lol. But when you've got two people who are stubborn to their point of view and are not willing to compromise or even listen or understand someone else's point of view, you're always going to have conflict. So yep. You need someone backstage, whether it's a wrestler a la Wrestler's Court and Undertaker, if that's to be believed, or if it's a manager or an owner of company or someone in a senior position that has the power to sit two people down and verbally bitch slap them across the face to get the cop on. Seriously, like, communication solves problems no end. And it's so funny watching these scenarios from the outside when you can see that you've just got stubborn people involved and nobody's taking a leadership role to conflict resolve these problems.
Yeah. Oh, my brother. Testify.
Yeah.
So that was the Punk interview. I didn't catch the Cody one, but I saw some snippets of it where he still has a little bit of anger with AEW with how Brandy was treated. I thought that was quite funny, but obviously standing up for his wife, so I can understand his point of view. But I think Brandy was given more than enough chance to succeed definitely. In that company.
Yep.
And she failed in multiple levels. Bless her.
But that promo, that one time.
I mean, that promo where she came out and she said, "Who told you it was open mic night, bitch?" That will live long in the memory as one of my favorite AEW quotes ever. It's like you've got this Brandi Rose woman who's seemingly, a very kind of controlled and reserved person, just bursting out and going full on, like, getting in your face.
It was like, nah, let's fucking talk, right?
But we can all agree, was it the Nightmare Collective? Was that their term? Was that their phrase?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't, let's not forget. Let's not remember that. No.
Wasn't that one of the worst things ever?
That one worse of the year. Didn't that one or 20% for a long time?
I mean, it should have.
At times, watching the show this week actually made me nearly miss the Nightmare Collective.
No.
Bitch, I said what I said.
No.
It was fucking god awful.
He also went on to, thank Nick and Matt and Kenny and Tony for the setting up of AEW and all this sort of stuff. But I didn't hear too much of that. I presume it was just a bit of a rah-rah. Look at what we did. No one thought we could do it, and we did it anyway.
Oh, great things, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I'd assume it's... I think I'd around to myself. There's too much wrestling going on this weekend that I didn't have it in me to watch wrestling interviews all week. Punk was must watch. Other interviews were going to have to be equally must watch. And none of the rest of the media had that same feel for me. So I said no.
Well, that's it. Like, you know, with Punk, he's going to say something controversial that's going to piss off some people, because whether he does it intentionally to get interest in him and or what he's doing, or if he's just genuinely holds that belief, it will be a point of contention for people.
Man, is a good imagine, type of man, like, let's be honest.
You'd imagine the interview with Cody was very much a rah-rah, yes, kind of corporate interview where, tune in to WrestleMania this weekend, folks, where you'll see me win the WWE title,
No, you won't.
Let's move successfully over to WrestleMania night one. Let's run through the card because we can spend a bit of time on some of the bigger and more important matches. I will run through the cards as they appear on the Wikipedia.
I think the
page.
Wikipedia is probably the right order looking at them. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe you could switch around a few mid-card, but we'll run with it for now.
They usually have a lull match before the main event, so I think it does make sense.
Night one. For the Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley defending against Becky Lynch. How have you found the build-up to this fight, Bo?
I mean, Rhea hasn't been involved in matches for a while, so it's kind of weird. But I think they did it okay with the build-up. Obviously, Becky being off doing her book stuff probably at the same time didn't help with that, but... Yeah, I think the build-up's been okay. I mean, they've kind of technically been building since that press conference, because they had the face-off in the press conference, so you knew before the Rumble this was happening.
Mm-hmm. Gordo, what's your thoughts on the lead-up to this fight?
It's been grand. I'm looking forward to it. It's probably the two best women that they have. So.
Well, yeah, the match I'm looking forward to is...
I think it's been fine. And They've kind of done good by having the whole feel of, there's actual hatred there. So they've done well with kind of building up that a bit. I just don't know how the whole, with Rhea not being booking or not been wrestling recently as often, is there going to be a bit of rust there? I don't know.
She's been wrestling on house shows doing sting faces, so.
Well, that's true. the clip of Shayna Baszler sitting down asking her to give her one. Shayna is a treasure and must be protected at all costs, by the way. let's be honest.
Question, though, right? Because the way I asked that question for a reason, right? The pretty much everything else on this whole Mania card, night one, night two included, has been overshadowed by the main event, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the Bloodline, Cody, Seth, Drew, those three matches overshadowed pretty much everything.
The build up right now is for two matches, neither of which are happening at WrestleMania. That is Cody versus The Rock and Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. That's what the build has been for the last few months.
They're building for that MSG show, they're building for that Madison Square Garden show that's been announced for June.
So the reason I asked that was because, do you feel that either other matches have been built up to a very high standard but just have been overlooked, or are they being overshadowed because they haven't been good enough?
I think the other builds have been good for the most part across the different ones. I guess just this one, the Bloodline one, is just so good that it's just overshadowing everything by the fact it's so good.
Now, my opinion of the Rhea Becky one, right, is I really enjoy both of these performers. Rhea is one of the two wrestlers in the company from the female side that I would happily watch a match with, the other being Asuka. Becky, love her to bits, Irish woman, very proud of her. Not the best bell to bell. She will put on a very good match. She will put on a 7.5 out of 10 match most weeks, depending on who she's in the ring with. But I wouldn't get out of bed to watch it. I think possibly Rhea has been showing up a little bit in this build-up for her out-of-ring work. I don't know if she's done enough to make me interested in this match from her as a champion's point of view.
Fair point. Wouldn't argue that, to be honest,
Every match should try steal the card. That's everyone's modus operandi for this entire weekend. You can't just say, oh, well, the Bloodline, you're fantastic, they're doing their thing, so we'll just play second fiddle to it. No, you should be trying to do everything
you should be going to have a better match than it. That's going to be the better story, but you should be going to have a better match.
Not even a better match, but a better build. You know, you should be trying to do everything you can to elevate your element of the show to being the best.
Be that.
The
show. Yeah. 100%.
They'll probably have maybe, what, a 15 to 18 minute match, depending on what style they want to work. And it'll be a very good match. I won't be disappointed with it, but I won't remember it from Monday on.
Yeah, you say that, but I mean, Charlotte and Rhea was probably arguably the best match last year at Mania. That didn't have a great build.
Do you want to revisit WrestleMania last year? there was not a lot of good stuff on that card. In terms of what we have this year, I think this year's card overall is much stronger. Who do you think wins then? So get on to your prediction for this match, Bo. What do you think is the outcome of this?
I'm thinking, I've looked over all the matches. The media is usually pretty face heavy, but you can't have fully face. I think Rhea's going to retain.
I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Straightforward. Plucky Becky tries her best, but Rhea just can't be beaten.
Yeah, pretty much.
Rhea power out of a disarmor into a riptide.
We'll find out, I guess. But I think it's a full house for Rhea here. I think it's hammering on
if Becky won either, but I do think it makes more sense for Rhea. Like, as I said, Becky's starting to wind down as well a little bit. So, and Rhea's still on the build up, so you don't want to take it away from her too much either.
And I'll explain later, but I think there's a reason that Rhea wins as well. But moving on to the next match on the list here, one that I have gained significantly more interest in the last 2 weeks. Gunther defending against Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title. Gordo, we'll start with you. What have you thought of the build-up to this match so far?
I initially was torn when this is the route they went with it. I think anyone that's listened to Pod knows, myself and Steve, and I think in general we were all in on Gable versus Gunther.
Or Sheamus to get that title.
Or Sheamus, if there were. Yeah, I actually was initially hoping that we'd have a last second addition to the match to decide the number one contender and bring back Sheamus for it. But it's been an interesting one. The stuff with Gable has been fantastic. Great way to actually, as you said, build that kind of hype around it for the last couple of weeks, and it's really after building it. It's kind of after adding a bit more heat to the situation. The beatdown obviously this week helped as well. As you said, just the last 2 weeks have been a real It's actually shot in the arm that just really needed
build like for this, but they did well.
And they've really managed to do well with the time they have to put something kind of intriguing in place there. So yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. You know these two lads are the type that are going to go out there and do whatever the fuck they can. Like you were talking about, you know, you have to go try and go out there to be the best on the best build and the best match. These lads could well be bell to bell the best match of the night. Would not be surprised if we're on here next week raving about how good this match was.
Bo, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking the same. Yeah, I think this is probably going to be a sleeper hit for the weekend. The Bills with building in Chad Gable, I wonder how I'm intrigued. I'm assuming he's going to be at ringside with Sami Zayn for this match as his coach. And the question is, how does that factor in?
So basically, right, my interpretation of this entire build for the last 2 weeks is this is Rocky 3.
Hmm.
This is Sylvester Stallone getting trained by Carl Weathers because Mr. T, Clubber Lang, has already knocked out Creed, and he's training Rocky to beat him. So this has been fantastic for me. I really, really enjoyed this. And to throw in a prediction that Steve gave us, because he thinks that Chad Gable either wins the IC title on Sunday or Monday. And I can't tell him right now that he's wrong, because I could see that happening, but it's very interesting.
Tam put something in the chat there that I was thinking about as well. It's the Chad Gable thing, reminiscent of an OTT angle we had featuring Devlin, Walter, and persona non grata. I thought that
untitled too, wrestling star,
because that would make sense in the story the way it was. Like means Chad Gable costs Sami Zayn at. When he goes, he's almost about to beat Gunter, because he's the one who wants to beat it. But I don't see them making Chad Gable a heel out of it. So that's the only way I wouldn't have that.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting. Predictions, I'm going to go... We need to get the belt off Gunter. Not because he's not been worthy of it or that he's undeserving, but we need him to step up and, you know, challenge for the main titles, whether that's on Raw or SmackDown, doesn't really matter. He doesn't need the IC title anymore. And in fact, I think it almost hinders the other talent that could benefit from a title run. So I would go in with what Steve said. I think by the end of Monday night, we have a new IC champion.
But it's not Sami then.
Because of other results that are going to happen on this card over the weekend, I'm going Gunther to retain.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the same. I think it'll be a banger match.
I don't think Sami needs to be the one to dethrone Gunther.
Plus, I think another dominant Gunther win on WrestleMania is
wouldn't
do him any harm. You know, it's a good builder. Okay, so we're going for a Gunther clean sweep there as well. Going from a man who's never had a loss on Mania to another man who's never had a win on Mania, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Kofi obviously had Woods has never won.
Yeah, the heat up. What was this one? Was it,
No, it's a strange one. The six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, in which Michael Cole said on Raw that both sets of belts need to be grabbed for the match.
That was emphasized.
It looks like they're building for splitting the titles. It'll be interesting to see how they present them, whether they'll be all hanging off the one loop or whether they'll separate them as well, which would make a bit more sense in the sense of separating the titles and having two different champions coming out of the show. But you've got Judgment Day, current champions defending against DIY, Awesome Truth, New Day, A-Town Down Under, and the terribly named New Catch Republic.
Shocking name. British strong style. So there is a rumor that A-Town Down Under will not be in this match.
Heard that too. To be replaced by?
That's the question.
Hardy Boys.
I heard that rumor too, but I don't see that happening.
No, I wouldn't see it happening either. There's a few different names being thrown out there about potential. The Motor City Machine Guns are currently not under contract. I don't know if they're a big enough name to get a pop as a surprise at a WrestleMania.
They might be in Philadelphia, though.
Yeah.
I personally, I would absolutely fucking love to see that.
Oh, same here.
And I think the WrestleMania crowd would be smart enough to know who they are and give them an adequate reaction. Not necessarily what the Hardys got in Orlando that time, but I think a pretty damn good reaction, but nonetheless. Did you hear any other names?
Just other ones were just kind of internal WWE people already, so just be swapping them out for someone else. But
I did hear.
Yeah, go on.
What's the Creed brothers? But like, if you were taking A-Town Down Under out,
it'd be a SmackDown tag team.
You'd have to put someone in there that has a higher name value.
Yeah, boys. Yes, boys. So that's what the other one I heard. The
yes, boy. Boy. Pretty deadly.
That's the one.
Bo, while you're talking there, what's your prediction for this match? Who wins both sets of belts?
Well, I definitely they're getting split. I reckon DIY get the Raw ones and New Catch Republic get the SmackDown.
Interesting.
Gordo. I don't think the Judgment Day are coming out and out with that.
Awesome Truth and fuck. I was going to say Awesome Truth and A-Town Down Under, but if they're not going to be in the match, then I don't have a fucking clue.
Apparently, according to the internet, new rumors and innuendo, there was a meeting took place on Wednesday or Thursday this week where they decided whether they're going to be in the match or not. Don't know the result of that, but yeah.
The way I see it happening is Truth climbs up, rips down the Raw tag titles. Forgets about the other ones. And that's when your slimy heel tag team goes up there and just takes them all down. So that's why Pretty Deadly would work in that situation. But yeah, that's kind of how I do it anyway, is yeah, Truth essentially just forgets.
I'm going to go kind of in between both of you guys there, if you don't mind. I think Awesome Truth for the Raw titles, because R-Truth has been one of the best performers on Raw for the last 6 months. He is must-see. He is more than 50 years of age, and he is arguably the most entertaining person on Raw. And then for the other belts, the SmackDown belts, I think it's a 50-50 between New Catch Republic and A-Town Down Under. I like what Gordo's saying, that, you know, Awesome Truth are obviously a face team, so they'll get that win. It'd be weird if two face teams win, so you kind of have to go for maybe a tweener or a heel team. And to be fair, I think Theory and Waller have done good work. I think this would be a good nod for them. I don't know why you take them out of the match unless there's something big happening with them.
Well, I assume they're in something at the weekend.
I'm wondering, is the whole thing with Joey Swole all a work?
Oh, it's definitely a work.
There was a video of basically them being dicks to someone in the gym, which caught the attention of your man Joey Swole, who posts all them videos telling people they need to know better and not be such cunts in the gym. And it's been kind of back and forth on Twitter then between both sides over the last couple of days. So it really all does 110% feel like a work. So I would imagine he's possibly going to be there in some way, shape, or form. Will he get involved? I don't know, but.
Tam's saying his predictions are Miz and Truth and Dunn and Bate. So yeah, I think we're all along the similar lines for this one. I think we can all agree that we don't expect Judgment Day to come out with any straps.
No, I think it makes sense for the story for them to come out with no titles.
Yeah, it frees up Priest then to kind of focus on Money in the Bank and whatever he's going to do with that, because time is ticking on that one for him.
Mm-hmm.
Next match on the card that I see here, brother versus brother, Jey Uso, yeet, versus yeet. Jimmy Uso, no yeet.
No yeet.
I don't think we need to talk too much about this one. This has just been bubbling away nicely. I think we've expected this for months.
Ever since the breakup last year, I think we expected this was going to be a Mania match.
Yeah. Yeah, and 15 years ago, there was a brother versus brother match on WrestleMania. And 15 years before that, there was a brother versus brother match on WrestleMania. So it's been a bit of a theme. So who in 15 years' time is going to be facing each other? The Creeds. Who knows? What's your thoughts on this match? Who gets the win? I'll jump first. I think it's a very easy Jey win.
Yeah, I think this is a WrestleMania face win for this one. I don't think
Jey win. So you'll have the crowd doing his fucking dance afterwards. And I maintain it's a show of respect afterwards then as well.
I think so.
So you have the possibility of, when all this goes and Roman goes away for a while, you have a possibility of reuniting the Usos if you want to.
Yeah. Do we get Rikishi? Do they bring him in for the weekend? Ooh. Does he, you know, be a special enforcer to keep the match down the line, let his sons fight for the honor, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I want to see Rikishi here just for the shits and giggles of Mania. Fucking bring out all the stars, pull all the stuff, everything. What do you think? Is Rikishi going to be around?
I mean, I reckon most of the family will be around for the match later in the night, or the one on Sunday. So yeah, you can probably slot him in here.
Gordo?
Yeah, I reckon there'll definitely be an appearance in some way, shape, or form. They might just have him in the front row, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd take that too. Just,
I don't think he's going to get things like that. I don't think he's going to interfere in the match. I reckon he'll be there.
No.
Nor should he. Unless Jimmy tries to cheat and he prevents him from cheating. Something like that I'd be okay with. But other than that, yeah, just a innocent bystander just adds a bit more feel to the match. The next match I see here is the 6-woman tag team match. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control of Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. So this was announced last week after Jade Cargill made her kind of SmackDown debut and destroyed everybody and looked fantastic. This should just be a bit of fun, I think, really. There's no stakes, but people going out there should have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a Jade Cargill showcase match. Basically, it's what this is going to be. And we'll see how far she's come along in that 6 months in the Performance Center.
Mm-hmm.
Gordo? Oh, sure. I already saw the stuff the other day about how, oh, sure, Jade's come out there. She's still doing the same moves and all this stuff. What have they really done with her in 6 months? She had 2 fucking moves. Like,
but the same moves, Gordo. Same moves.
Yeah, because they were the same moves that she could actually fucking hit good, because they were the only 2 moves they taught her to do repeatedly. Yeah, it's, people are weird. This is what it is. It's going to be a Jade showcase match. It's going to be fun. She's going to go out there and batter people. Another Mania loss tacked on to Asuka's record.
Rip. Yeah, I think this is an easy face win. Like both said, it's the Jade Cargill show.
Oh yeah, you don't have Jade. You do not have Jade. Jade pins Kairi.
Don't really care which one she pins, but this is just to make her look good.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying you won't have her pin Asuka, and
they're making Dakota to be the new leader, basically, is the way they're angling it. Yeah. That's why the Yo being the champ, but anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so it makes sense, and this is what I said months back when they were teasing the initial breakup. You have Dakota as the de facto leader now because she's the best English speaker.
Yeah.
So yes, she's the mouthpiece, and therefore she's perceived as leader. Well, in reality, we know that she's arguably the least talented wrestler of the four, respectfully, because you've got fucking
because the other ones are really good.
I think least accomplished, would say, as less gold in the resume, we'll say. But yeah. 100%. Like, want to make sure we don't get fucking cancelled Mania week here, boys.
No, I did not say she was bad. I just said she was the least good.
No, exactly. And
she's got three very, very good teammates.
At the same time, even when we were here the other day talking about, watching Raw, we were talking about just how the heel turn she had in War Games years ago. It was one of the best fucking heel turns they've done in years. So good.
Next one is going to be another similar vein. It's an exhibition match, tag match, Latino World Order, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Quick predictions here.
This came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, it was a way to get Rey and Dominic on the card.
There's no need, though. They did it last year. I don't know why they went this way with this, but anyway, it's going to be a face win, I reckon.
I'm going heel win.
And Rade is winning, I'd assume.
Andrade's not in the match.
Or Andrade. Fucking
Escobar. That's racist, Gordo.
Yeah. They all look the same, don't they, Gordo, huh?
Yeah, they do, yeah. No, I'd had it in my head from the whole thing of having to, I've done where Dominic was saying that they needed, that where he was telling Andrade that he needed him to sort out their problem for him, and if he won, he was in Judgment Day. That's where it was. I get my segments mixed up. Get over it.
Okay, so that's that. I think we've talked enough about the undercard. There is only one real match that everyone wants to see on night one. That is the main event. Tag team match with the bloodline of Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Franklin Rollins. With the stipulation being, if Cody and Rollins win, all members of the bloodline will be banned from ringside during the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match on night two. If Rock and Reigns win, the championship match on night two will be held under whatever this means, bloodline rules.
I mean, we had a bloodline rules match just on SmackDown last week, so.
But what does it mean, Bo? Nobody knows what it means.
It's provocative.
Gets the people going. Build up to this has been nothing short of exceptional.
Oh, The Rock is on fire. He's just so good when he wants to be, like, oh my God.
A literal chef's kiss for this.
There are layers. Like, there's levels to this shit. And the two bloodline boys are on a level at the moment. Like, it's...
Like, people will talk whether they've lucked their way into this or whether this was planned all along.
It was definitely not planned.
I will put my hat on the line and say I think this was their plan all along. I think that they intentionally threw the swerve to bring it back to this just to get the reaction. And I think we, myself included, everyone fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
I don't think it was planned. I think it was a swerve, but it was a smart swerve. And they did really well in adjusting. But I don't think it was the original plan. But yeah, it's been an amazing build.
Gordo, thoughts quickly on the build for this?
A phenomenal cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah, just there's nothing else to say. Must see.
I really hope that they've been recording backstage so that they can do a documentary of this from January all the way through to Mania and the fallout.
Yeah.
That would be appointment viewing.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Like this feud has got me. I've watched all of Raw and SmackDown for the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that in a long time.
It's been worth it.
They've instantly made every bit of WWE TV, well, with the exception of NXT, which I have to say, even I haven't been watching much of lately. Still looking forward to TakeOver this weekend, but they've made everything about Raw and SmackDown must see. I couldn't care what else is going on in the shows. But you have to watch everything, so you never know when there's going to be another little bit or another little nugget or another segment that's going to kind of add a little bit more to the lore of what we're going to be witnessing. Mm. You know, there's so much that's going on. Yeah, just top tier. And like, there's people that I know who haven't watched wrestling. We kind of were saying, Bo was saying earlier, you know, people who in work were talking and saying that they're going to get the network, who'd never have the network. I know one or two lads who have not watched wrestling since they were in their teens, and they'd be around about it, the same age as ourselves. So talking, you know, 15, 20 years of never watching wrestling. And because of what they're hearing about what's going on at the moment, they're back in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could end up stopping watching again in a month's time. But for this moment, because of what's going on with The Rock and what's going on with the Bloodline in general, they're back in. So it's doing what most wrestling shows wish they could be doing at the moment. It's getting eyes on the product.
Yep.
How do you see this match going? Talk through, like, just even the fundamentals of the match and how you think what will happen in the match, and also the finish that you see happening and who wins.
I mean, it's going to be a total domination by the Bloodline destroying the other two.
You think it's going to be full destroy, or is there going to be moments where you think, shit, Bloodline are getting
it'll be a bit back and forth, but I think overall it's going to be a pretty... They're going to get...
convincing win. Yeah,
they need to be underdogs for the next night.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I did a definite Bloodline win. I can see it being one of those where, you know, it starts competitive and then eventually devolves into what...
Yeah.
By the end of it. Very difficult thing to pull off, but one that will start looking competitive, and in the end you'll go away feeling like it was a squash. Yeah, Bloodline win, I think, is pretty much a lock. Because
Rollins definitely takes the pin.
Yeah, it just makes for a much better... It just makes for a much more intriguing night too, really. So that's why they kind of have to go that way.
I'm trying. Does Rollins take the pin, or does Rock pin Cody?
Oh no, Rollins takes the pin while Cody watches. Rock has Cody in the sharpshooter.
Oh, but that's terrible. He's a terrible sharpshooter.
He's a god awful sharpshooter, but that's... Please, Cody literally stuck there, not able to struggle to get to break up the pin because of it.
Yeah, but Cody taking the pin leads to a future Rock Cody match. I know we're leading that way anyway, I assume, but I think it leads it better to a future Rock Cody match.
Oh, probably.
I got the win over you. I pinned you.
Possibly, but
like Roman could do all the work, and Rock just gets the pin.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be interference? Not just from Solo. I think everyone expects Solo to be involved somehow. Maybe Jimmy, depending if he's still around after a match. But do you think there's going to be any other sort of interference or shenanigans afoot?
This one, no.
No.
The next yeah. night. Oh, yeah.
The next night,
it's going to be an interference clusterfuck is what that's going to be.
Yeah, I'm expecting the Bloodline booking to end all Bloodline booking on night two, to be honest.
It's going to be overbooked to fuck, and I'm going to love every second of it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Do you think that Seth and Cody can coexist successfully in this match, whether they win or lose, but whether they win or lose together?
In this match, yes.
Interesting. Mm.
But
now, the reason I ask is that there's been some murmurs and some suggestions that potentially Seth turns on Cody over the weekend.
Over the weekend, I could see potentially this match, no, because otherwise you got two heels facing each other tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Or the day after. Okay, we'll come back to that one later. So,
yeah. So I posted mine in the production chat earlier. People know what my plan is.
So, production chat is not Discord, so people don't know. But we're thinking, so Bloodline wins, obviously.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if Bloodline didn't win that match.
So, Bo, what's your prediction? Who pins who?
I'm going to go Rock pins Cody.
Gordo?
I'm unsure, but Rollins eats the pin. Rollins eats the pin after eating a fuck ton of finishers.
I think they decide. I think there's an active decision in the match that allows Roman to pin Cody. So I think either the Rock, hits the rock bottom on Cody, and instead of going for the pin himself, tags in Roman to do it because of vision, the perception, the visual of Roman pinning Cody at Mania. That's where I'm going for it right now. So that's night one. Has the potential to be an all-timer if that main event delivers.
On paper, but outside of the main events, including the main events, night one looks a lot better than night two.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially. But to be fair, we've always said it, that on paper, things don't always deliver.
Yeah.
So night two, the first match on the card here is Seth Franklin Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre with CM Punk on commentary so far. Ironically, CM Punk's meant to do 2-hour pre-show both nights, so be interesting to see what he says and if anything changes with his involvement in this match.
Mm.
So build up to Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, Bo. What have you thought about this?
I mean, to build up to Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre has not been Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre.
What has it been, Bo?
As I said earlier, it's been Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. So this is very obviously going to be a Seth is fucked after the night before. Drew gets the win.
I would go along with that. And as I said earlier, I think Becky loses her match. Seth loses his match. And whether they stick around for a few weeks after Mania to do the tour and whatnot, I think they go away for a while then, because
they'll definitely do well. Becky's booked for the Late Late Show and when they're out over here on the UK tour, so I'm assuming they're doing that tour at least.
Exactly, and they'll probably do Backlash just to get that out of the way, get the rematches and all that sort of jazz done. But yeah, Drew McIntyre's been on a fucking run of a lifetime for the last
fantastic lately.
Yeah. He has been living off this CM Punk stuff.
Opened a forbidden door there yesterday as well.
He did
with Brian Cage in the gym.
Yeah.
But Drew's had an easy program here because Seth is effectively doing everything for him. So he's been saying to Seth all along, you're spreading yourself too thin. You're getting involved with business. It doesn't concern you. You're taking your eye off the ball. I'm the ball. So as Bo said, Seth's going to come into this match, obviously not 100% in the story. And then Drew should be able to pick him off. If Drew does not win this match after Seth having a potential mammoth fight the night before, Oh, baby. Someone better check backstage because Vince McMahon is back.
If that happens, Drew has not signed a new deal and he'll be soon in AEW. That's Drew Gallagher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gordo, what are you thinking about this match and the build-up and everything that goes with it?
Really enjoying it. We've been Drew fans since, Jesus, before he was even in WWE. Yeah.
I dub back in the day.
I dub days, man. I popped up my Facebook memories there the other day, the picture of him from his access session with us right down at the back of that queue. We were there. Your hat's there as well. Fitz's hat was also there along with myself and Nicky. It's been really fun. Like, he's always been a funny guy. He's always been a decent talker. This has been an opportunity for him to kind of show that kind of bit of fun side to him while also being a dick. So, yeah, it's just been fine. And it's been so easy for him to play off the stuff that Rollins has been doing. And the fact that he's not focusing on him, it actually has also meant it's been easier for him to focus on the Punk stuff as well, because he's just able to make fun of everyone around him now. He doesn't have to just, like, you know, if Rollins was only focused on him, but then all he cared about was talking about Punk, it just comes across weird. Whereas, yeah, this way he can just kind of, yes, kind of hedge his bets a bit with as to who he's making fun of. So,
I mean, yeah, the only way I could see possibly him losing is he gets distracted by Punk commentary alongside, and that lets Seth win. But then, yes, Seth is champion, which I don't think it makes so much more sense to have Drew the belt than you have him versus Punk for the belt.
Yeah,
it just makes more sense.
That has to be the play. That has to be the fucking play.
I think we all agree that Drew should be the one coming out of this match with the belt. But a good question raised by Tam and Rory in the chat. Senor Money in the Bank, Damian Priest has his briefcase. Does he get involved in or around or after this match and potentially cash in?
If Seth wins, yes. I don't see him cashing in on Drew.
No.
I would agree. I don't think that this card, that this match, that the current people involved in this feud need a cash in right now. Hopefully not. Roy says he likes Drew, but I don't know about a Ranger supporter. Isn't that whole area a little iffy? I mean, he's not wrong.
The Rangers and the Celtic.
The Rangers and the Celtics. Celtic are playing.
The Celtics. Even.
Celtics.
So hopefully we get what we need and we get what we want, and Drew comes out with the belt, and you have not in the visual but the audible of Punk congratulating Drew on a good win and them having a probable stare down, if not a few words after the match as well. So that should be very good. What else have we got next? Is Io Sky defending against Bayley? This is my sleeper for the weekend.
Yeah, this has been built very. I mean, this has been a year long build, like over a year.
Yeah,
long build on this one. Like,
I'll go first on this one. I think Bayley gets her Mania win and gets her flowers. I think this is the first time she's probably been built and portrayed as an equal of the four horsewomen, if you get what I mean. Ultimately, I think before now, and up until now recently, is that it's always been Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha, and Bayley. You know, she's always been almost the afterthought.
Even
of the
way they were called up, sure, Bayley was left in NXT for an extra, nearly a year?
Nearly a year. She had the one day call up, didn't she?
Yeah.
For SummerSlam for the tag match, and then she was back down again for a year and a half. So this feels like she's getting her flowers, and hopefully she gets the win, and whatever she does after, great. She's a made woman. She doesn't necessarily need this win right now. Obviously, it would help her resume if she gets a win over someone as established as Bayley, but I think Bayley to win. What do you guys think? Gordo, hit us first.
Yeah, Bayley wins.
Bosky?
Yeah, I think it makes sense for Bayley to win. Unfortunately, she's not getting her Paramore entrance, she said today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and on Twitter, she said, unfortunately, timings and schedules and stuff means that she won't get it, but I'd like to see them bring back, since she's not getting that, just bring back the old Bayley buddies for one night. Bayley buddies for one night, be nice.
Or is she Jerichoing us? Whatever Jericho says, expect the opposite. I mean, it's possible. Let's just wait and see what happens. Now, I haven't seen the incident so far, but apparently LA Knight and AJ Styles had a bit of a brawl today at some sort of WWE event.
It was a bit of a weak brawl, if I'm being honest. It was a bit of, rolling around for a while. Gotcha.
So they're having a singles match on Mania. Now, I love both of these guys, and I'm going to be very happy watching this match because it'll deliver, but it feels like this should be something else, right? It feels like LA Knight should be potentially going against Logan Paul, and AJ Styles could have a good match with a fucking broom.
Yeah.
It just feels like a weird match that they put together just to get both guys on the card.
I mean, yeah, they have been building it a bit. Obviously, they've had the whole home invasion. We had the AJ flying all the way to Australia to cost LA Knight the chamber. But yeah, it's just the reasoning behind it. I was not getting the reasoning behind it at all.
Yeah. Not convinced. Gordo, have you any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, both of them could have been doing different things. Couldn't really care. I'm assuming the match will be fine.
Yeah, like this leads into the next match that we'll go to fairly quickly. The United States Championship match where Logan Paul defends against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. You could easily have just thrown LA Knight and AJ into this match and made it a multi-man, either ladder match, TLC, whatever you want. And I think everyone, including the fans, would be better for it. Yeah. It's a strange one. Mm. But AJ, LA Knight, I don't think anyone, not that we don't care, but I think we'll enjoy it either way. And there's no obvious victor in that one right now. But the US title match, where do you think that one's going to go?
I still go back to, I reckon LA Knight's probably going to take it just because he's still on that upswing. While it's dampened a bit since it was at his peak, I still think he's probably going to take that one.
His squib has been dampened.
Squib has been dampened a little bit, but I don't want to say, you know, because he's the young up and comer because he's not young, but I just think in WWE tenure, he's the young up and comer, so I think he needs to win.
Yeah, and it's very much a case of riding the hot hand in a lot of ways. AJ is fine, but you know, you can always get momentum with AJ. Can you really recapture the lightning in a bottle that they've had with LA Knight? They kind of have to do something with it before it goes, because it's not quite been where it was, and they need to try and get that back after to cash in on it. So, Knight wins. Sure, it'll be a fine match.
US title match, so how do you see that going?
KO Mania strikes again. Yeah, I think Randy to win, but KO to steal the show.
Yeah.
Interesting. Why do you think Randy?
Owens has had that US title on and off for the last how many years? I don't think he needs it again. Randy, obviously, he's on his return thing here now. He hasn't had that held a title in a good while. So I think it'd just be nice to Randy to have a title belt for a bit.
Why not have Logan Paul retain then?
He could do that either, but I think he's had enough big. Like, obviously, the main thing for having Logan Paul in this is to get the general public in it. I think they've milked most of that at this point, so I don't think you need to have him win those big things anymore. He's basically just a member of the roster now, so I don't think you need to have the title on him.
Okay, Gordo, what's your thoughts of it all?
I think Randy to win. I think Randy to win and to do a Cena on it and to start running an open challenge.
That'd be nice.
Hmm.
Could have one tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, or the night after on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not convinced on the Randy win. Like, it's a Mania win, so I know he doesn't have to hold it for long. It's just a moment in time, so to speak. So from that point, I can get it. But
and plus,
I think
getting the win over Logan Paul on a Prime logo
and pouring a bottle of Prime over him. That would be nice. But I think this will be my bathroom break of the evening. I'm not overly enthused by this, to be honest with you. It'll be fine. You know what you're getting with KO and Randy, and Logan will do something stupid and crazy and defy physics, but it won't disappoint, but I'm not invested in it, I suppose, the best way of saying it. If they had a five-way for this, including AJ Styles and LA Knight, I would be much more invested in both of those scenarios.
I'm more surprised that this is going to be a piss break match when
The next match is going to be fun.
It's a street fight.
It's a six-man tag team Philadelphia street fight. involving The Pride, Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, against the final testament of Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar.
I never knew the name of their group was The Pride until I read the match card for this show.
And now all I'm thinking is, I see Pride, I see power.
Thank God you didn't do the accent.
I see. That'll be later. That'll be about 6 or 7 drinks deep on Sunday night, lads. Let's be honest.
Both of you, what are you thinking?
I think the final testament need this. Karrion Kross needs this big, massive win to get their group have any sort of
momentum.
Anything. I didn't need it.
Tam jumps in and says, if there's any old ECW heads around for a run, this would be the time to do it. I mean, if there was any connection to any of the wrestlers involved in this, other than the fact that Bobby Lashley probably was a WWE ECW champion back in the day, I can't even remember.
He was.
Fair enough. There we go.
Vince McMahon, if I remember correctly.
Gordo, what's your thoughts on this match? I know you're a big Bobby Lashley fan.
Yeah, big Bobby Lashley fan. They hate that Karrion Kross guy. It should be fun. It's kind of what you said. It's a six-man street fight. You have six people that are just going to go out there and batter the fuck out of each other. You have kind of a nice mix of kind of power with the athleticism, then a Dawkins to kind of, or not, well, I've actually both Dawkins and Ford. I actually weirdly think that they're going to, for what is a street fight, I actually think they'll kind of nicely complement each other with some of the weird shit that they could do. So this needs to go to the back as well, though. You cannot just have this be out in the arena style thing.
Mania 17. Who was the turtles in that match? Oh my God.
Kane, Raven, and Al Snow?
Crash Holly? No.
Oh, I can't even remember. Big Show.
Yep. Thanks, Tam. I think this is a layup.
I thought Big Show, and then I thought Al Snow, and I don't know why.
I mean, you've got a stadium, you've got a street fight. To be honest with you, it doesn't really matter who's involved with the match, because you have so much freedom here. Whoever's producing this match should have fucking tables, should have forklifts, pallets, dump trucks, anything and everything you find should be used here to make this just an absolute clusterfuck of a match.
Kross has to use a clock as a weapon at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hourglass is getting shattered on someone, but they don't use real glass.
Like Tam says,
and he used to make a point of it.
Yeah. Look at this, it's clearly sugar glass.
WrestleMania 13 had the Chicago six-man street fight between Nation of Domination and Ahmed LOD. A throwback to that plunder wreck could be fun. Exactly.
Paul Ellering there, LOD throwback, yeah.
The only way that this should disappoint is if they don't let themselves loose and just have fucking fun.
It's Mania. You're supposed to go out there and just fucking enjoy yourselves. I do find it weird. This is potentially going to be going on second last if you follow this order. I'd find that hard to believe.
I think it would complement it very well. Because this is a clusterfuck and is a whole holy fuck moment and fans are getting into it. Then you've got, obviously, the 20-minute entrance of Roman Reigns in the main event to calm yourself down before that.
I hadn't factored in the WrestleMania length Roman entrance.
You got Cody having a live entrance by down straight. Then you got
Roman having his
epic entrance. Yeah, The Rock will probably get an entrance too, just because. You know who knows?
So just final predictions on the six-man Philadelphia street fight. Gordo, what are you thinking?
Final testament need to win, and the real winner is going to be the fans, because I do think that the six of them are going to go out and just beat the ever living piss out of each other for 15, 20 minutes and just be kind of a fun match.
Boski?
Yep, testament.
Reluctantly, I would agree. I can't stand Karrion Kross. I think he's severely overrated, but it makes sense in the context of what they're doing. So, yes, I'll go along with that. Main event time. Roman Reigns defending against Cody Rhodes in what we predict to be a Bloodline Rules match. People in chat, get your predictions in as well. Right, lads. It's been a year since we all happily suggested and hinted and predicted that Roman would beat Cody in WrestleMania 39. Did we think it would be a repeat for WrestleMania 40?
I mean, kind of. But I think the interesting factor, obviously last year we made the prediction of Roman, and this year I think everyone is in the same boat, but I think this announcement of a Madison Square Garden show being made today, right before Mania, throws that little seed of doubt again. It's another way to end the story.
I have said all along, I think Roman retains.
So to give context for what Bo just said, WWE announced today that they're running a SmackDown show in MSG in New York City on Friday, June 28th. Cody has always said that he'd love to win the belt at the Garden.
That's where his dad held up the title, was in the Garden.
Yeah, so timing plays a lot here, because they could have easily announced that a month ago, a month from now, 6 weeks from now. If you're one to speculate recklessly and have a persuasion to wearing a tinfoil hat, then you could easily predict that they tease that because of the potential of Cody losing again. Can you imagine that happening?
Yes. I think it would be much more interesting for Roman to win in both the reactions and the possibilities that he could have coming out of it. But I would be very, very surprised if Roman won.
I think Roman wins.
Okay, is that your prediction, Gordo? Are you actually predicting Roman? Okay, tell me why and tell me how.
I'm locking in Roman wins after overbooked mayhem.
It's going to be overbooked at the fuck, but
Yeah, I am predicting all sorts of shenanigans, interferences. We are having run-ins out the wazoo. I maintain we're getting... Basically, Rollins ends up getting laid out at ringside at one point. To follow on from that, then you get the bloodline eventually get run out of there, which is fine. And basically, it gets to a point where Cody manages to hit a crossroads on Roman and is just as he's kind of getting back to his knees to try and crawl over for the pin, he gets nailed with a stomp.
Seth screws Cody.
Seth blames Cody
for him losing because he had to fight his battle.
Because he had to fight his battle for him.
Okay. So you're thinking Seth screws Cody, Roman wins. The show goes off to the air with Roman as champion and all bow our tribal chief?
Yep.
Okay, predict then what happens next week. What's the initial reaction to that from both sides? So from Cody losing, how do you see that happening or going?
I haven't thought that far ahead. Don't really care. I'm booking like Tony Khan here, boys. I'm just here for the chaos, like, you know.
Classic Gordo. It's okay. I'll come back to you on that one. Boski, what's your prediction for how this match goes and how the finish comes about and who wins?
My prediction is, as Gordo said, it's an overbooked mess. I think, all of the Bloodline people, everyone ever associated with the Samoan family comes down and is beating the shit out of Cody.
What's Saudi Arabian Yokozuna doing here?
I reckon we have everyone involved, like Rock, not both of those, but we've got Jimmy, we got Solo, we got everybody all teaming up on Cody. So we do get a couple of people coming out. So Jay comes out to try and help him. He gets beat down as well. We get Sammy comes out to try and help Cody. He gets beaten down. And then we get So we got Cena comes out to try and help save Cody. Eventually gets beaten down. And then the glass shatters. And that's the equalizer. Steve Austin comes down, faces off against The Rock. They all go brawl off. And through all this madness then, and Cody ends up with the win over Roman.
Pause. A very hard pause right there. You're saying there's potentially going to be a standoff between Rock and Austin. And does Rock take the stunner and sell it like a motherfucker?
Of course. How else?
God damn it! Just sold me a ticket.
Them between it.
But yeah, sell it like a motherfucker anymore.
It's Mania 40. They did the same thing at Mania 30 where they brought back all the legends and stuff like that. I don't think there's a specific spot to do it. I think that's the perfect place to do it in it is in this match because it's going to be a clusterfuck. They can be equalizers, Cena and Austin. And I think, yeah, that's the moment, the glass shatter moment. Imagine the pop you're going to get in that venue if he comes out at that moment.
And the finish is?
Cody gets the win. Like, you know, through all that, all the melee, Cody ends up hitting the crossroads as they all play out. I don't think the actual finish isn't the big pop part. It's going to be a little before that. But Cody gets the win because it's then finishing that story.
Question for both of you, because you've both mentioned overbooked mess.
Yes.
Now,
in the greatest possible way, by the way.
I'm going to love it. It's one of those messes that's good. For a pure wrestling fan, no, but as an entertainment function.
That's what I was asking, because, you know, the term overbooked has a connotation of being bad. I think if they do anything like you're suggesting, where they're rolling out everybody they can possibly find, I don't think that there's a way that I wouldn't enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, this is like literally all of the good shit. This is essentially a greatest hits of overbooked mayhem, if you get me.
Yeah. Like, they had their match last year. There was a bit of interference. You know, let's be honest, Jimmy and...
It was the Solo classic Roman defense interference. Yeah.
I think if you're going to have interference this year, it has to either elevate slightly or elevate hugely. And because it's Bloodline rules, because of our prediction from night one, I think go all out. I don't think anyone would have a problem with an absolute clusterfuck, as Chicken says, happening in this main event.
No.
I'd be shocked if there wasn't an absolute clusterfuck in this main event. But wait, there'd be a pure straight match, you know.
And Tam says, WrestleMania 15, Rock v. Austin was in Philadelphia.
Yep.
So there's history, as the boys would say. Okay, so you think Cody wins. Have you any predictions for what happens in the immediate aftermath?
Well, I think straight off that, Roman disappears for a while.
Okay.
I think we do a build up then between Rock and Cody, I think, based on what I have from my prediction,
or
Rock gets the pin on Cody.
Or,
okay.
This is one of the dumbest bits of booking I've ever done.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm going to mute Gordo, sorry.
No, this is one of the dumbest Gordo bits of booking I've ever done. So we're going to have to go back to the tag team ladder match.
Okay.
What if Awesome Truth win the Raw titles, as I predicted? Raw or Truth forgets to bring down the SmackDown ones.
Okay.
And the Judgment Day pull down the SmackDown tag titles.
Okay.
Fast forward to night 2.
Okay.
Cody wins the main event.
Yes. Pick up speed there.
And Bleeding Priest cashes in on Cody after Cody wins the title. So you have the moment where everyone thinks everything's going to go great for Cody, and then Priest cashes in and wins the title from him. So Cody still doesn't get his big moment of going off the air at Mania.
I don't dislike it from a booking idea. I do dislike it from you're going off the air night 2 of WrestleMania, the biggest WrestleMania ever, with Damian Priest as the champion.
Yeah.
I think that is weak sauce.
Yeah. I'm going to actually follow up on my build-up, or sorry, my post-match thing. I just thought it in my head to give it more. Night after Mania, Roman, Rock in the ring. Rock, because Roman couldn't get the job done the night before, takes over as head of the table. Kicks Roman out. Then Roman's gone until probably Cody Rock probably happens at SummerSlam. Roman returns at SummerSlam then to cost the Rock, and that sets up their Mania match.
Face Roman at SummerSlam?
Face Roman versus heel Rock.
Interesting. Because there's a lot of things that go along with this. So assuming your prediction is correct, Bo, that Reigns loses, then you have to ask the question, what happens to Solo and what happens to Jimmy? Because they're the disciples of the Bloodline. If Roman goes, do they go? And, you know, there's a
lot of... They fall in line under the new head of the table. The new tribal chief.
Also, in this overbooked clusterfuck of a mess that you predicted, do you foresee potentially seeing Jacob Fatu and or Tama Tonga? Both are potentially free agents and both are rumored to be heading to the Fed.
I wouldn't say yet for the Mania match. I could see it happening, like, as a, if The Rock did take over, maybe that's two of his two new people that he has in his group.
Oh, okay. So DX 2.0. Bringing in the New Age Outlaws. I gotcha. Okay. I am more torn than Natalie Imbruglia on this match. For like, the absolute wrestling troll of me wants Roman to win just for the reaction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as I said, it'd be more interesting for online speculation and whatnot if Roman won, but I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted it to happen last year because I genuinely didn't think Cody, just coming back from injury, scraping a win in the Royal Rumble when he wasn't fully fit yet, and for him to win the title then was good booking or good business. I stand over that. I'm very happy Reigns won last year, despite the public backlash that happened. Not only because it was the right thing to do then, but it's evolved into a much bigger and much better developed story for this year. So they've used it very well to catapult a bigger and better storyline, which is all you can expect from any decision. I think you have to have Cody win this one, right? And I think you do have the clusterfuck. I don't know how it goes down. I don't know if you go to the full extent of what Bo was saying and rolling out Cena and Austin. I would fucking love it if that happened.
I mean, there's a reason they were in the back shot of that image in that truck. They don't use that truck. They're using WrestleMania trucks right now.
I mean, like, if that is foreshadowing, I think they need to be writing the Game of Thrones books. Like,
so much about that they're five shadowing.
If they do all of that, fantastic. I'm really disappointed. I just don't think it needs it right now. I don't think there's any justification in storyline for Reigns to win, is the best way I can phrase it. Mm-hmm. The only reason I'd want Reigns to win is just for the pure lol of it all. Tam sharing some good pictures of Brett winning the title and the boys being happier.
WrestleMania 10 ends in confetti, face win. WrestleMania 20 ends in confetti, face win. WrestleMania 30 ends in confetti, face win.
I mean, like, just sometimes the predictable finish. Stevie Richards. Sometimes the predictable is the good. You know, you just have to roll with it and accept it.
Nah, I'm here to watch the world burn.
Going with the assumption that me and Bo are right, and for once Gordon might actually be wrong, lol.
Nope.
And Rhodes wins. I think it does set up a new era. God, that feels like marketing jargon right there. And it's interesting to see where they run with it. You know, he's the guy. Will he change the belt? Will he do whatever? And, you know, you've got a face champion, so you've got the elevation of a new heel challenger, which is always more fun.
Yeah, Cody has a trademarked Renaissance era.
Law. Brandy appearance, Pharaoh appearance, TBD.
I don't see Pharaoh, maybe Brandy.
Okay, so that's your Mania card. How many 5-star matches is Dave going to award?
I mean, you'll probably award some to the Ring of Honor show tonight.
Ring of Honor show tonight, I'll get more than Mania.
Like, all things being equal, right? And if we're to buy into the world of Dave, right? The Bloodline versus Cody and Seth on night one, unless that match absolutely stinks, that should be 5-star. That's an average match, the story has been fantastic.
You say the story, he gave Rock and Hogan at Mania
3.5.
For Mania 18 match.
Or
like,
was it 3? It might even
have been 3. It was 3.5. Was it 3? I thought it was 3.5, but yeah.
Well, to be fair, fuck that Hogan. Fuck that Hogan. Mm. Cheeky baby. Yeah, I think this is potential to be a good night. What's your prediction for the show stealer? What is your most anticipated, you know, highly expected match?
Sammy Gunther.
The two main events are the one I'm looking forward to the most. Yeah. I think Sammy Gunther will be the
sleeper of it.
Sleeper hit, yeah.
So, Bo, I'm going to force you to pick one. What is the one match that, if you can only watch this weekend, it will be?
The main event of night two.
Yeah. Interesting. Samesies. It's going to be such a cluster.
Does Rock get injured in his only wrestling appearance?
that I wouldn't be surprised at. He has been training with the Gallus boys.
Interesting choice of training partner, isn't it?
I mean, it's three people. You need three people to do it for a tag team, for a tag match.
I know, but like Gallus boys, really?
I mean, who did he train with last time? It was
Cross McGillicuddy, was it? McGillicuddy,
that's who it was, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he's always had a bit of a weird choice in who he trains it, I guess.
So that's Mania, boys. I think this is building up to be a nice one. We will. I think we should try to do a show on Monday, potentially, seeing how things go.
I'm off anyway. So yeah.
We'll quickly do a run through of NXT Stand and Deliver because that's on this weekend as well. So literally 10-second answers. Pre-show: Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy. Oh,
Spears.
Gordo.
Spears, but isn't Gacy possibly after getting hurt, so this might not go ahead?
Oh yeah, did he actually get injured on NXT this week, didn't he? Looked like he did.
Yeah, he might have gotten hurt, so it might not be going ahead. But if it goes ahead, Spears. Yeah.
Cool. Potentially the opening match of the show is the NXT Championship match between Ilya Dragunov and Tony D. Boski.
This has been actually built pretty decently. I think Tony D might take this because I think Dragunov might be coming up.
I think I said the same the other day. Yeah, I think Tony D time.
Triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship. Obafemi defending against Dijak and Josh Briggs.
Title defense here, I'd say. Maybe Dijak, but I could see more so Obafemi. He's really hot right now. I think they want to keep the title on.
Yeah, they're so big on Oba. Makes sense for him to retain.
Tam's having what you're having as well. NXT Women's Championship. Lyra Valkyria defends against Roxanne Perez.
As much as I'd like to represent our Irish brethren, I feel like Roxanne's probably going to take this one.
Gordo.
Yeah, Roxy, because I think Lyra might not be long for NXT at this point.
It's hard to know what the call-up system is from now on with the new regime, but I think both of these women are probably ready for the main roster, depending on what the stories they have ready for them, of course. I couldn't predict this one, to be honest. Moving on to the tag team championship match, Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker defending against Axiom and Nathan Fraser.
Definitely Axiom and Fraser, because Breaker's now on the main roster. So,
Gordo?
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. In my head, I was like, that's a simple title retention, but I'd forgotten about him being called up. Title change, but holy shit, that match could absolutely fucking slap.
It should be a title retention, all things being equal, but the fact that they're on different rosters does make it a bit difficult. A six-woman tag team match for... Oh, wait, no, there is no NXT Tag Team Championships. Tia Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan versus JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. They're hard to say back-to-back.
That's a tongue twister of a fucking match announcement right there.
I reckon the faces are probably taking this. I think you need to have the Tia Hale getting her victory over JC Jane.
Yep.
Oh, Tia Hale's face again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She basically doesn't want to be JC, and JC was leading her down the wrong path. Yada, 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 yada.
And JC Jane is someone that's ready to be on the main roster. She's probably ready more so than Lyra and Roxanne.
Yep.
From the character standpoint, definitely.
Yeah, wrestling-wise, Roxanne's probably the better of the three, but from a character point of view, JC's miles ahead.
Yeah.
Main event time then. Does Mello miss?
This is going to slap.
Or does Tricky Dicky do it?
You have to give it the trick.
I love the boy Mello, but
Mello's called up. This is his giving back the trick before he heads up to the main roster.
Yeah. This is giving back the trick, and I think there's a sign of respect afterwards. I think there's like just a little dap each other up afterwards. Mello leaves, Trick in the ring on his own. Because by that, then you can call Mello up, leave him do main roster stuff for a while. And at some point, a couple of months from now, where you need someone to back Mello up on something, you can have Whoop That Trick hit and the crowd go absolutely fucking batshit crazy for him.
Yep. And just if you haven't seen it, anyone watched the Prime Target that they released 2 weeks ago?
No, I need to properly watch it now.
So good. Sean Ryan, a friend of the show, the only interview we've ever had on the show.
Interview we've ever done, Sean Ryan. Lovely, gent, and ridiculously good at what he does.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's WrestleMania weekend wrapped up.
What's going on in Collision, though?
Who Who cares? It's pre-recorded. That's how much they didn't care about it.
It's pre-recorded and they're putting it up against the clusterfuck. it's going up against Janela's show. So it's going up against the clusterfuck.
Yeesh. Has you guys seen any of the indie shows yet or any of the stories coming out of them yet?
No, I still require someone close to me to acquire tape.
I mean, we have cousins over in America that'll be able to send them over to us.
Yeah, just waiting for it to... My pal Xavier. Xavier William Taft.
You go sail the high seas and go get it for you.
Yes, he will indeed.
Yeah, I've seen one thing from one spoiler. I'm assuming you've probably seen it from Bloodsport.
Bloodsport.
I haven't seen it. No.
That's the only thing I've seen so far. I mean, tonight we got about Progress is on now. Then Spring Break 8 and GCW for the Culture 5. And then we have Effie's tomorrow, GCW versus TJPW, and then Clusterfuck Forever.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
And Supercard of Honor is on as well tonight. So yeah, all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but bear shits in the woods and all that, you know.
Yeah, lads, it's going to be so much. It's going to be so much. Steve is happy because he's after he has Jack Tunney.
Gordo, plug us up and send us home.
Log us up on this fantastic, fantastic week of wrestling celebrations. So if people want to get more of us at the Alleged Wrestler Podcast, such as our potential Monday bonus show, you'll find us on all your favorite podcasting apps. So that's your iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen now. If you come back, you will find more and more of our shows. You'll also find us over on WrestlingSoup.com, along with the Soup Guys themselves and a load of other shows. Please go spread love over there and check them out. As soon as I get off this, I'm probably going to start listening back to the Soup Guys breaking down the Punk podcast from the other day. Always love what they do, them breakdowns. They always have really good insight into that sort of stuff, so that will be must listen for me. Looking forward to it. Also shout out to our friends over at Canvas Theory, www.canvastheory.com. if you use the promo code AWP, you will get 10% off your entire order. Have our friends at Canvas Theory made the trip this year? I know last time I was talking he was up in the air about it.
He said he was
he was leaning towards no, but he wasn't 100% last I was talking to him. But hope he is keeping well wherever he is. You'll find us over on Twitter. It's at the AW Pod. If you go over there, you'll also find a link to our Discord. You can come join in the live fun when we record this each and every week. And also chime in with your own contributions or your own thoughts on what's going on in the world of wrestling. We'll be able to chat about it. So please go check us out over on there, as I said, on Twitter at the AW Pod. And you'll also find us most weekends, probably not this weekend, with everything else going on, over on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/theAWP. You can watch us come fail at video games or watch videos all his wall hacks.
Hey, I believe Google Podcasts has been gone, isn't it? It is no more. It is indeed gone.
So you will not find us over on Google Podcasts. So iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, all that other shit.
Oddly, Google Podcasts is gone. I connected my phone up to the car, like when I plug it in, like you look up some Spotify for me. This week when I plugged it in, I opened up Google Podcasts. It's never done that before. I'm like, are you supposed to be gone?
Of all the weeks.
Like, I know, right?
That's why you should never get an Android. Always go.
Fuck no.
iPhone forever.
Well, on that note, say goodnight, Mo.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, Mo.